Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
One of those things, a couple of guys.
Andy Randy.
Having discussion.
I be on it all night, man. I be on it all day. Straight up pimp. If you want me, you can find me in that.
What are you looking at me like that for?
What you talking about? We're supposed to make eye contact.
It's the Midday Show with
Andy Barker and my son. My baby boy, Randy McMichael.
When I crack open this mic.
That was the most media member thing that's ever been said.
Starring Randy Montez McMichael as Randy and my firstborn son, Andrew Stephen Bunker as Andy.
The pumps make the yams more yammier.
The whats make the whats more whattier.
Boring answer.
Just make sure you don't touch that dial, then we'll be cool. Touch it and use the fool.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Yeah. And a good Tuesday morning to you. Chris Goforth in place of Andy Bunker alongside Randy McMichael as we get you set to take you through the last half of the morning and the first part of the afternoon here on the Midday Show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Randy, it sure was good last night to turn on the TV, man, and see the Braves on the field and it be a game or something happening with the Braves that's not a replay of a game from 2018 or 2019 or the 95 World Series or something else, but to actually see the 2020 Braves on the field last night was a good feeling.
Hey, what's happening, man? Again, like Chris said, welcome everybody in. We do appreciate you listening to us on the midday shows. We always appreciate our man Chris Goforth filling in for Andy. Yeah, it felt good, man. It was, I think my biggest thing, Chris, last night, and we're going to have him on the show later on, was listening to Paul, man. Paul Bird and them call it, actually just analyzing the game and everything, because I know we talked yesterday about the crowd noise and all, whatever, whatever. But, it was good to see him play and get out there. And my biggest takeaway is that Mike Soroka looked like he's ready to roll, man. He looks good. That's the second time that he's pitched in these inter-squad scrimmages, and he did look especially well yesterday. And I think just as a team, you know, that we know the usual suspects as far as challenging for a World Series title is usually, you know, the big names, the Yankees, the Dodgers, things like that. But when I look at this Braves roster and you look at the front end of that, of what could be a 1-2 duo like we had back in the 90s when you talk about the Braves, it gives me, you know, makes me really feel real encouraged about the prospects, because of the fact is that this is a different type of a year. You know, it's a sprint, and if you don't have that good pitching out the gate, I think that you can get behind the eight ball real fast.
And that was something that Paul and Jerome talked about last night during that, is the fact that 60 game season, you can't afford to fall behind. You can't afford to get off to an 8-12 start. It may be too tough to try to come back from a move like that. So getting off to a fast start for the Braves should be key. The story in the AJC from quoting Braves skipper Brian Snitker, he says that Cole Hamels is feeling better, but that, quote, going to be a slow process.
That's even better. Brian's head is about to explode over there. I love that. That's some of the best news I got this morning, was about Cole Hamels. Not that he's injured, just the fact is that Brian is getting so mad over there that he probably threw some, because I'm sure, yeah, Brian's at his apartment. Wendy is back at the ranch, keeping us on the air. And that is just, you know, because, Chris, he's been upset since the day that Cole Hamels was signed. And this is, you know, this just makes it even better, because, you know, we'll talk to him at 10:40. But I just feel the steam coming off of Brian's hair right now. It's just great.
Randy, I don't think you plan on this guy at least for the first week of the season, and then it may be touch and go with him all year. I mean, that's, you know, look, what is he, 36 years old? There's a lot of miles on that arm. I mean, you don't know what you're going to get, I'm afraid.
No, you don't. I don't think you knew when you signed him. I mean, even though they did came off of 18 for him, you know, I don't think that you knew what you were going to get from him. And when I look at, you know, when you look at him and Felix and all those things, they were looking at those back end number four starter type veterans that they've been having some kind of success with the past few years that Brian Snicker's been there. I mean, they've had Gosman, and I mean, you know, I mean, they had those caliber pitchers, and so they were hoping that he can be that guy. And right now, I mean, it just hasn't been right since he's been a Brave. I mean, we know what happened to the initially. You know, he got hurt working out at home and everything, and didn't want to tell the Braves and all this stuff like that. And now it just seems like it's just a trickle effect. And my thing is just, well, get him ready. I mean, because it doesn't make no sense to try and rush him back and all that thing. Because, like you said, he is 36, and there is a possibility that there's no possibility they're going to need him down the stretch. They're going to need, and damn, it's hard to say down the stretch when it's only 60 games. But they're going to need his arm, and so why rush him back right now? But that goes back to some of the things that we talked about yesterday as far as these wanksters. Well, which one of them are going to step up? Because, I mean, we hear so much about, we've been hearing about them for a few years. Well, which one of y'all going to step up and be that guy that, or live up that potential that everybody keeps telling us that you have? That's what I'm waiting on. If he can't go, one of them going to have to step up. I mean, seriously, one of them is going to have to step up.
No, you're 100% right. Somebody's got to separate themselves out of that group, because at some point in time, and look, who knows kind of what the financial aspects of baseball is going to be in at least in the foreseeable future. But based off of what we've seen in the past, there's been a lot of other teams that have inquired about this stockpile of young arms that the Braves have. And for the most part, the Braves have chose to, rather than deal those guys, they've chose to hold on to those guys. And I think you hold on to them until you find out who you got faith in and who you know you can send out there, whether it's – and what their role is. Are they a starter? Are they a long reliever? Are they – you know, what are they? A setup guy? A closer? What role do they fit into? Once you determine that, then I think it's start becomes time to try to start to move some of those guys for other pieces that can help you contend. Braves haven't been willing to do that. One interesting thing that came out of last night – there's an article about it today – in the AJC as well, but you saw it on the broadcast last night, was Snitker talking about the idea of the Braves using an opener, which is where you take a reliever and he starts the game, he goes an inning or whatever, and then you go and bring in either, whether it's a long reliever or a starting pitcher, whoever, you bring in somebody else. I first heard about this, Randy, I want to say it was about 3 years ago, maybe, when the Devil Rays started this idea. And then, of course, you know, the Oakland A's, this is some of that new baseball analytics stuff.
Right.
And the Oakland A's, they jumped on it. The Yankees have done it. There's been other clubs that have gone with this idea. It's a little foreign to me. I want to hear Paul Byrd, who was on the broadcast last night. He's an analyst for the Braves on Fox Sports Southeast. He's going to join us a little over an hour. Paul said last night he was a fan of this, so I want to get his take on it and his reasoning behind it. He gave out the stat last night about how teams that score first win 67, 68%, whatever the number was. The idea is you go with that dominant guy to start the game to give you a better chance to get the lead early on. I don't know. That's way too much new baseball analytics for me.
Yeah, man.
I mean, you know, I still want to see Bruce Sutter coming out of the bullpen, but that's me.
But I mean, and Brian mentioned this in our pre-show call, talking about, you know, Tampa did it a lot of it last year, actually. And you know, I don't like it, you know, because that means that 7-7 might have to start a game. And you know, that's just not the way I want my blood pressure to start watching a Braves game, is watching him go out there or whatever. But, I mean, I think everything's on the table right now, Chris, because of how, you know, how different this season is going to be in baseball, period. So, I mean, you might see a lot of that this year. I mean, because right now you're trying to still figure out, we still don't, honest to God, don't know how they're going to use these pitchers right now. I mean, as great as they are, as great as some of these guys are, when you talk about Scherzer and Strasburg, I was reading up on Strasburg last year, saying he's sharp right now, you know. So we don't know how long they could go, because you know when you're looking at the pitching and how it was, you know, if, as far as me listening to Paul Byrd and guys like that, you know, and during spring training, you rev up, and get ready for the season, and then for baseball, there was this 3 month lull of them not, you know, not necessarily doing competitive pitching in the game. So they had to revamp them up. But the way these guys are looking, how long can they go? What is the proper number? What is the number that you're going to look at for a pitcher to continue to get up to his normal innings as far as 7, 8, whatever? I mean, how many times is that going to happen this year when you were going to see pitchers going to the 7? You know, I mean, because of the fact is that there's so little games. And then they go back to, well, you don't want to wear out your bullpen and all that. I think Brian Stick would say he's going to start with 17 pitchers right now. So, I mean, that's ample. That's ample. That's a lot of guys. But can they get it done? I think that's the biggest thing. And it's going to have to be a lot of wins by committee league-wide, as you're talking about, as far as the pitching staff.
Talk about guys that stood out last night. Mike Soroka, obviously, as you mentioned it from the start, Randy, he looked fantastic. Christian Pache, I thought he looked great. A little scary when he went down sliding into second. Yeah, late man. In that intra-squad game last night, they came back afterwards, and all the reports post-game about him from a couple of different sources out there have all said, the Braves said he's fine, he's expected to work out today, so that's good news, because that was scary, because he's the guy that I think has the chance to be, I just think he's got a chance to be special one day.
Yeah, I mean, that's what they tell us. I mean, for all sense of purpose, he's one of those untouchables, as everybody likes to say. Is, you know, you can't trade Pache and you can't trade Waters. I mean, he's one of those. He's and Ian Anderson. You can't move those guys. You know, they're untouchable or whatever. And a lot of people are under the realization that Pache is the center fielder of the future. He's gonna, you know, once Freddie gets a little older or whatever, you know, he's Acuña should move to the 3 slot, and then, you know, Pache will be the leadoff hitter. But yeah, it was scary to watch him go down last night. And hopefully, and as you said, Schmick did say he's going to be fine. He expects to work out today. But I mean, these are the guys that got to step up. And the main reason is because he's not going to get the opportunities that he would get if he was up in Gwinnett right now. I mean, this is what it is. There's no minor league season, so he's going to miss those at bats. So when he gets an opportunity, he has to take advantage of it. And hopefully he can be a part of the outfield rotation. I think, well, hell, he's going to have to be now that Cakes is out and everything. So you got to bring somebody up. But yeah, I mean, this is a big year for him, because you're going to get to see him in limited time. He's not going to be the starter out there or whatever. He's going to pinch hit. He's going to pinch run. He's going to go out there in the field when they need a substitution or whatever. But, yeah, these guys, these young guys who are not getting these swings, not getting these at-bats, not getting these pitching opportunities, it's going to be a difficult transition for them, I think. And that's where the disadvantage, just like we talk about in football, when the rookies come in. Yeah, it's going to be a disadvantage if they don't get a chance to play in preseason. It's a disadvantage they didn't hit OTAs and all those things. But, I mean, it's just a difficult time. You just got to suck it up and go play baseball, go play ball.
Yeah, I think it's good. I wonder what the impact, the adverse effect may be on a lot of minor league guys when you don't have a minor league system. They're not getting the reps. They're not getting the at-bats that they would have gotten in a normal year, because there's no minor league system. So, and that may be something we don't fully feel or see the effects of it till maybe sometime next year with these guys. Hopefully everybody's in a cage somewhere and able to get their swings in, or able to throw off of a mound and continue to get their work in to continue to progress. But for those guys that aren't a part of this 60-man roster, if you will, I think it's a little scary about what the future may hold going forward, especially with the state of minor league baseball right now, which is it's not good. It's not good anywhere. It's the Midday Show. Crisco Fourth in place of Andy Bunker. Andy's on vacation this week. Glad to be hanging out with Randy McMichael, and we're glad to be hanging out with you. We'll get to what's trending, more on the Braves, more on that SEC meeting that took place yesterday, the NFL and the NFL Players Association met yesterday as well. We'll run through all of that next. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Radio.com app.
You don't need a radio to listen to The Game. Just download our app and listen anywhere, at any time.
With the powers vested in me, I pronounce you man and
gold! It's a gold!
Almost anytime. Download the Radio.com app now and take us with you from Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Ladies and gentlemen,
time now for What's Trending.
A look at the top trending headlines of the day.
Oh my God.
Brought to you by Reliable Heating and Air. With over 200 fully stocked trucks ready to help, Reliable Heating and Air offers next day installation, or we pay a $500 installation guarantee. Call for details.
Yeah, I think he slid late, looked like to me. And I think it probably scared him a little bit, because when George started grabbing on him and working on him, it looked to me like when he walked off, he could have probably kept going. So I think it was just something that spooked him a little bit. But They said he'd be good to go tomorrow.
That's Braves manager Brian Snitker on the, well, it had to be a hold your breath moment last night in that intra-squad game. If you're a Braves fan, when Christian Pache goes sliding into second, yard Snit say, looked like he started to slide a little bit late, but thank goodness he's going to be fine. One quick more thing on the Braves, Randy, and I know we've talked about it a lot already, but yesterday we talked about who would be the leaders on this Braves team, especially when there's no Freddie Freeman around, and it is such a young team. And one of the guys you mentioned was Ozzie Albies. And did you notice last night who was the first guy that went to Pache when he was down on the ground?
Yeah.
It was Ozzie Albies.
Yeah, I mean, and that was, you know, and, you know, some of our listeners, they were tweeting me, everything, Duvall, because he's been around in certain guys like that. Yeah, I mean, when it boils down to it, if nobody's there to lead, I mean, you still got to go play. I mean, we all know that Freddie Freeman is the unquestioned leader of this team. He just has a different way of leading. Freddie's, you know, we all know Freddie's laid back, he cool, he chilled, you know, he's funny, but you know, he's well-respected, not just here in Atlanta, but around the entire, you know, baseball landscape. Everybody respects Freddie Freeman. So, I mean, he's earned that right, and I think he's the unquestioned leader of this team. But, I mean, you know, guys have got to step up. And I just look at Ozzie. He's a playful guy, but he just seems like he got that bottom. You know, I don't know if it's just me that thinks that way. It could be somebody else. But, I mean, when I look at Ozzie, I just look at him. He just seems like he has natural leadership skills about him. And, you know, and like you said, he was the first one out there. And it's crazy because, you know, even with all this stuff that's going on and, you know, the distancing and all those things, you see a kind of a hesitancy, whatever the damn word is. You see that when it's coming to when people are trying to go to the aid of others. Because you saw that when Stanton hit the pitcher, you saw everybody stood there for a minute like, okay, do I go out here or do I wait for the doctor to go out here? You kind of saw a little bit of that last night when Pache went down. But, I mean – as much as we want to keep our – when something happens like that to one of your brothers, man, you don't even think about it. It's like, I got to go. He's hurt. I'm gone. You know, I'm not going to – hey, are you all right over there? No, I'm going to go see if he's all right. I'm going to help him up and do all those things. So, but, yeah, I'm glad he's going to be okay. We talked about it in the last segment. I really want to know how they're going to use him because he's not going to get his normal allotment at bats and in the field and all those things because of the fact is that there's no minor league this year.
The Athletics' Ken Rosenthal reporting that MLB and the Major League Baseball Players Association have reached an agreement on how contract options and bonuses will be handled in a shortened 2020 season. Bonuses, both roster and playing time bonuses, will be prorated and paid at prorated amounts. Postseason bonuses will be paid in full. Also, if a guy goes on the COVID-19 injured list, those days spent on the COVID-19 injured list will count towards roster bonuses. This is just Major League Baseball just kind of doing some final housekeeping, if you will, Randy, to make sure they're able to start this season on time.
Yeah, I mean, there's still, you know, a couple loose ends that they had to get tied up and everything. And I think that's a big thing in all leagues right there as far as what happens when a player is, you know, test positive or whatever. What are going to be some of the ramifications or whatever as far as are they getting paid? That's what we were talking yesterday when you talk about, you know, these, you know, how did you get it? Did you get it on our watch or did you get it out doing something crazy? You know, not, I don't want to say nothing crazy, but you were doing something that you weren't supposed to be doing or you were at a party or something like that, and that's how you contracted. So I think that that's going to be something with all the different leagues, I mean, that are not in the bubble. You know, we saw yesterday, and I think that Wendy's going to talk about it in the Wendy Zone about the NBA players. You know, they done, I mean, damn, dog. I mean, at least me and Andy were wrong because we thought it would be JR would be the first one, but, you know, it was somebody else that got in trouble as far as. You know, as far as, you know, stepping over that invisible line or whatever it was. And so I think when you look at all the leagues and when I got an opportunity to listen to Acho, who is on the NFLPA, he's like on the committee or board or wherever. And those are some of the things that the players are concerned about as far as what happens when somebody gets it. How many people do you need to get it before everything is canceled? And in his words, the owners, all they're worried about is the money. And so, I mean, it's going to be a tricky situation going forward because we do know this. Somebody's going to get it during the season. And then it doesn't matter, Chris. It's not one of those things where you can lie to the doctor and say, I'm all right. You know, it's not. It's the point where you get it, you got to go away for a while. And it don't matter if it's in the middle of the season, if it's in the playoffs, if it's in the World Series or NBA Championship or a Super Bowl, whatever. At the times we're in now until you know, something is another rule or whatever is laid out there, you got to sit. You got to sit, bro. I'm sorry.
NFL did meet yesterday with the NFL and the Players Association. Nothing really came out of that. More on the NFL coming up in our No Huddle segment in about 30 minutes from right now. The SEC, they had their full day of meetings yesterday as well, as all of the athletic directors gathered down in Birmingham. After it was all over with, Greg Sankey, the commissioner of the SEC, went on Paul Feinbaum. Here's what he had to say.
I don't know that it's every conference for ourselves, but obviously people made decisions. So I don't. We've talked enough, and I've talked to so many people, and I'm used to long days, so I'm in great shape for the long days. But I observed that what happened in March is a really good indicator of what may happen as we look towards the fall, which is groups of universities, conferences, made independent decisions. Now, we all ended up at the same destination, and you'll recall in a very compressed period of time, those decisions were announced, and they were made and then announced at different times. And I indicated that's a good example of what we could see this summer, and lo and behold, that's what's happened. Now, whether we all end up at the same destination remains to be seen.
Damn, he dry as hell. Like, do you have to be dry as hell to be a commissioner? God almighty. No one of them damn meetings be taking so damn long. Y'all dry.
So the SEC's going to make a decision on scheduling in late July, they say. So that's kind of what we talked about yesterday, was late July, first part of August. Randy, I want to know, and I didn't hear this from anybody. It was all very tight-lipped yesterday until Sankey went on the Feinbaum show, but how involved do you think the TV networks are?
That's a good question. That is a very good question, because we know the money that they're, you know, that they stand to lose because of if there's no college football, whatever. But I mean, Chris, this is just ongoing cluster blank that the NCAA is, because there's no leadership at the top. That's what happens when you just say, okay, y'all as conferences, y'all decide. They should have, and I mean, it's easy for me to say it. I mean, I'm not in those meetings. I don't know the relationship between the commissioners of each of all the conferences, and why did the Big Ten feel like they had to go ahead and just lay that out without consulting? But that's what the NCAA, that's where they put them at. You don't have to consult with anybody. Make the best decision that you think is for your, you know, specific conference. And right now you're in a situation where you don't know. The SEC doesn't – I don't know what they're going to do. It kind of makes sense now, if you want to have this championship and all these things, that you would go to conference game just like the Big Ten did. But maybe the SEC doesn't think of it that way. Maybe we're like, okay, y'all do y'all thing. We're going to do our thing. And we'll see what happens in November or whenever, you know, the season might end. So I'm just as confused as everybody else. Don't know what's going to happen or where the SEC is leaning, but I do know this. The SEC is not going to rush to make a decision, and they're not going to have a decision. I doubt they have one this week, and they might not have one by next week.
Yeah, I think a couple things here, Randy. One thing is that I don't think the SEC is quite ready to punt on the idea of non-conference games.
Exactly.
I think if they can get with – you can't tell me that the athletic directors at Georgia and Kentucky – and Florida weren't in that room yesterday saying, it may be the guy at South Carolina too. I don't know. I think Ray Tanner would probably like to see Clemson rotate off his schedule for a little while. But you can't tell me that those guys weren't in that room yesterday going, hey, look, we've got in-state ACC rivals that we play every year. We need those games to be played. So we got to figure out how to do this. And right now the SEC, the ACC, and the Big 12 are still the three conferences that are out there that haven't made that decision yet, like the Big 10 and the Pac-12 had. So these three are still out there. I just wonder if maybe there's not a way where these three don't reach some sort of agreement on testing protocols and they continue to play each other and maybe fill in some of the blanks. Alabama's got a blank right now because that week one game against USC has been canceled.
Yeah, that's where a lot of these things are, as far as you're trying to find replacement opponents. And I think, as soon as we heard about the Big Ten, outside of the Big Ten, it was, what the hell's going to happen with Notre Dame now? If everything's going to conference, because they're not in a conference, well, nothing's going to happen to Notre Dame. Notre Dame is one of the most prominent universities in America. They're going to find a way to get Notre Dame football out there. NBC got too much money not to have them on. All right, so that goes back to what you were saying as far as the TV revenue or whatever. But yeah, Notre Dame's gonna have games. Notre Dame's gonna play they're not gonna be, well, Notre Dame's out this year. No, that's not happening, Captain.
Notre Dame, Alabama, week one. Boom. Make it love happen. It.
Yeah, why not?
Done.
Why not? I mean, I would love to for Georgia to play their whole, you know, schedule and everything like that. But if they, you mean tell me that they're just playing SEC teams? Hell yeah. I'd be better than nothing. All right, yeah. I don't, you know, as bad as I feel for those schools that, you know, the Georgia pay, that they were going to pay to come to Sanford State and beat them up and all that. Well, I mean, if that's not going to happen, then give me something that will be better, I guess. And then you could say, well, hell, if Georgia, because Georgia's going to play Alabama anyway, well, hell, put LSU in there. Throw another school in there. I mean, why not? I mean, if that's the case right there, I mean, if you're going to play all those teams, then, hey, let's get it going. Let's get it cracking, Chris, because, I mean, I'm all about that action. And I would love to see an all-SEC schedule. Hell, yeah.
I would, too. 10-game SEC schedule. I would.
But no, we got to have Tech, though, because we need a whooping boy at the end of the season. So I would prefer the Tech game not to go anywhere.
Got to get your shot in.
Yeah.
But here's the other thing. Think about this. Like, for instance, you're talking about the lower echelon non-Power 5 teams that Georgia plays during the season. Think about this. Alabama plays Georgia State. Okay, if Alabama wants to keep that non-conference game with Georgia State and they don't necessarily feel comfortable with whatever the protocols the Sun Belt puts in place, Alabama's got enough money. Most of the SEC has, I think all the SEC has enough money. You just pay Georgia State to test the way you want them to test for the weeks leading up to that game.
Yeah.
And leave it at that. From Atlanta to Tuscaloosa.
And leave it at that. And I would love to see Georgia State go down there and get Molly Watt, but you get that money that athletic department is going to need, man, because these schools are on life support, Chris. I mean, Alabama is going to be fine. Georgia's going to be fine if the season doesn't go on. But these other schools, those are the ones you need to worry about, man. I mean, we're seeing programs being canceled left and right, and it's a damn shame. And just hopefully we can find some way to get some funding towards these kids.
Big deal, small deal, no deal. We'll hear from Brian Gebhardt when we come back. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Hey, Powder Springs.
Hello.
It's John from John and Hugh in the Morning Show. Don't forget the morning menu every morning at 6:40. Three questions you need to answer on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Radio.com app. Chris Goforth in for Andy Bunker this week on the Midday Show alongside Randy McMichael doing his best D. Snyder.
I like that. I mean, that's the only part I know in the whole song. So you got to make sure when you know the rule, and you only know one part of a song, you got to make sure you know all of that. You got to say with your chest right. Rah! So yeah, that's the only part I know.
With an exclamation point, right?
Yeah. Now who is this? I forgot who sang this song.
Twisted Sister. When I was like 10, 11 years old, man, that video was played on MTV constantly, and it's still a cool video.
Do they play video? No, they don't play videos no more. No, we had this conversation already. They play videos, Vint Wendy? Okay, we established the fact that they play them on YouTube. I ain't got time to go on YouTube looking for no video. I mean, I like, you know, but I don't watch, you know.
MTV Classic does, though. MTV Classic is nothing but videos now, I think.
Okay, well, maybe I'll give it up. Maybe I'll give it a whirl.
There you go. There you go. Hey, Paul Byrd, we'll talk a little more Braves baseball with Braves analyst Paul Byrd. He's with us at 11:20, so we'll get to NFL No Huddle. AtlantaFalcons.com has released the Falcons All-Decade Team defense and special teams this week. They'll get the offense All-Decade Team next week. Head over to AtlantaFalcons.com, take a look at that. And Randy and I will we'll break it down coming up in the NFL No Huddle in just a minute. Right now, though, it's time for Brian Gebhardt. Big deal, small deal, or no deal?
And now, 92.9 The Game presents Big Deal, Small Deal, or No Deal with Brian Gebhardt on Andy and Randy Midday Show.
Hey, what's going on, guys? B? How we doing?
What's going on, B?
I'm doing great because my guy Tiger is back in action this week. All right,
we already knew that.
I know, but there's a bigger deal here. So big deal, small deal, no deal. Tiger returning to the PGA Tour this week, but being paired with the two other biggest stars in the sport for Thursday and Friday, Brooks Koepka and Rory McIlroy.
I think it's a big deal. You know, we all know Kep, he sat out the last couple of tournaments, and we understandably, and you know, and Rory is the number one player in the world, right? Isn't he still number one? Okay, yeah. then you got Tiger. I mean, those are eyes that golf needs. And when you talk about putting those three together, I mean, everybody, we know how you feel about, you know, them not broadcasting from the first tee off until the last tee off. I get all that, and eventually you'll get over it. But I'm anxious to see how Tiger plays, because the one thing about it, when you play against other great players, it brings out that competition level. And we know that there is no more competitive golfer ever than that damn Tiger Woods.
It's a big deal, Brian. It's a big deal anytime Tiger Woods is on the on the golf course, because that means viewers. That means more eyeballs on the sport of golf, regardless of who they pair him up with. The fact that, as Randy has mentioned, the fact that you've put him with probably the two, in my mind at least, the two next most marketable guys on the PGA Tour right now, I think only adds to it, makes it even bigger. But Tiger playing golf, big deal always.
Yeah, and keep in mind, Tiger's tied with Sam Snead for all-time PGA Tour wins right now with 82. He's won this tournament five times, so we could see some history this week. Big deal, small deal, no deal. Only two NBA players testing positive for the coronavirus since arriving on the NBA's campus in Orlando.
I think it's a big deal. I mean, when you look at the number of people who were tested and how many people were tested positive, and we made sure that Russell was not positive in the bubble. He was positive before he got there, right? Am I right, Chris?
Yes.
Okay. And so I think, you know, once that happens, because it's still going to be a lot more rounds of testing. And I think, you know, when we talk about physical contact as far as basketball, you got the guys that are breathing on each other. They're sweating on each other. They're doing all these things. So, you know, we'll just wait and see how the next round comes out, and the next round. And then we'll see if they have. Because I saw where I think it was Bobby Marks. He said this. He said that the NBA thinks these next 12 to 14 days is going to be crucial to whether they can finish this thing up or not.
Yeah, I think it's a big deal as well. The last thing that the NBA needed to have happen was for this whole bubble thing to blow up in their face. And if you get a ton of positive tests out of the bubble, then you're talking about this thing blowing up, and then you're talking about that TV deal going completely away for the rest of the year, and everything headed down a very slippery slope for the NBA in terms of trying to get the season finished. So I think it's a big deal. I thought it was some positive news that came out yesterday, pun intended. Only players out of 322 that tested positive. So NBA had, I think the number was 19 that tested positive before the bubble. Those right. players have all been, you know, quarantined. They have had two that have tested positive inside the bubble, and they have been, you know, quarantined, isolated, whatever word you want to use. They've been pulled away from everybody else. So I thought this was a big deal, and I thought it was some good news yesterday. And let's face it, in sports, I don't feel like we've had a lot of good news lately.
Not lately.
Big deal, small deal, no deal. Chiefs wide receiver Tyreek Hill saying that his goal this season is to get 2,000 receiving yards.
Yeah, well, so was mine. But I mean when was the last time? Was Julio was the last time to get the closest? Was it Julio? Yeah, I know Calvin was real close. But I know Julio. I think Julio was the last one to get close. I mean, good for you. Set lofty goals, man. I mean, dude is a big time player, man. That makes big plays, and when you rack up yards the way he does on such little, you know, on not a lot of receptions, like he can get you 1,100 yards on 50 catches. That's because of how explosive of a player that he is. But, yeah, good for you, man. I mean, I saw this video of him getting mossed by some kid at a camp, which was so funny that everybody tried to make a big deal out of it. Okay, he's a corner. He's not a corner. He's a damn wide receiver. But good for the young man, though. But, yeah, I think it's a no deal. Hell, so do I.
I think it's a no deal, too. I mean, Jerry didn't do it. Calvin didn't do it. Julio hadn't done it yet. AB hadn't done it yet. I don't know that can happen in today's NFL, even with the ball being in the air as much as it is now, and certainly that offense he plays in. They're going to put up some yards. They're going to score a lot of points, but they got a lot of weapons that ball can be tossed around to as well.
Big deal, small deal, no deal. Andy's guy Greg Olson signing a deal with Fox that will have him join the number two team with Kevin Burkhart in the 2021 season.
I think it's a big deal, and I wish I can't say I wish he no, because he knows we, and I'm talking about Bunk knows about Greg Olsen getting this job, and it's good for Gio, man. He's a guy that's doing a great job in his transition out of the league, and I mean this was inevitable because I mean not too many players get an opportunity to call games when they're still playing, you know, and you remember that thing that happened in Minnesota, you know, they kind of felt a certain type of way about an active player that they were going to play later on that season, you know, at their facility, watching their games and all those things. They felt a certain type of way. And so, but yeah, I'm happy for Gio to go all the way to number two right now. And I think he's going to do a fantastic job of it.
Yeah, I think it's a big deal, too. Kind of as Randy said, it's not, first off, it's not often that guys are able to step into a situation where they immediately go to the number two spot in Fox, which means you're going to be, he and Burkhardt will now be right behind Buck and Aikman for that for the best game on Fox every week. So I think that's a big deal. Clearly, those two guys turned some heads working together. Was it the AAFL or the XFL? What did they worked together before, right?
It was one of them FLs. So.
It was
one of them FLs.
So they feel pretty comfortable with him being able to step in. I feel like Tony Romo's kind of set the bar now for guys coming from the league and going into the broadcast booth, Randy.
Yeah, I mean Tony, it's amazing how great of a of an analyst that he is, man. I mean, he is the man. That's why they paid him the way they did. And now you're going to see more and more guys, because the thing about it, Chris, is when you're at the end of your career and these TV jobs, these prime TV jobs come available, man, it does make you like, damn. I mean, I know I want to play one more year, but this job might not be here. And luckily for him, because they offered it to him a couple years ago, he still wanted to play, and luckily it's still sitting there waiting for him. So congratulations to my man, Gio.
Brian, appreciate it. Thanks, man.
Thanks, B.
Yep, talk to you guys in a few hours.
Yeah, we'll hear more from Brian Gebhardt coming up later on. We'll get to our NFL No Huddle next. We'll go through the latest happenings in the NFL. We'll talk about that Falcons All-Decade team, and the NFL unveils a new face shield as well that Oakley designed. We'll get to that and more. Paul Byrd coming up at 11:20 this morning. Stay with us. It's the Midday Show. Chris Goforth in place of Andy Bunker alongside Randy McMichael on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Radio.com app.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.